Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we will be discussing Atlantis by Ann McGinty, which is a Texas PML grade one. Cheers to starting the conversation.
All right, this is just like a rite of passage. I mean, honestly, I feel like it is.
Yeah.
So this piece, Atlantis, this is in the key of concert B flat. It's 4/4 throughout. It is about 2 minutes long. It has split clarinet parts and split trumpet parts. Pretty minimal percussion, but you need to have a good snare drum player for this. And accidentals galore. Yes. All over this piece.
She wrote this piece with like lots of what I call like color chords. So everything sounds really pretty together as long as everybody's making their best sounds and can play in tune.
And balanced correctly.
It can sound great, but it can also sound really immature if you don't think about those things. Mm-hmm. So the whole piece starts off with snare drum playing fast at 120 and piano. One and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and a four and a. And then the whole band comes in on beat four with a forte. There are no style markings. So play this all long and connected. Everybody comes in with the same rhythm. 4-1, 4-1, 3-1. But it's like a big jump. So flutes are above the staff now. Trumpets are on an upper C. Just kind of pointing that out to you. One, accidental, one, three, accidental for most, regular note, accidental for most, regular note, one, off. And that whole time, the percussion is getting softer along with the band, the snare drum.
Now, the positive of this is it is 2D rhythm throughout this.
Except a couple extra tuba notes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like rhythm-wise, that makes it really, really great. But you have got to make sure that we tongue together and that I cannot stress enough, like the balance of the chords.
Yeah, for sure. So making sure that sounds really nice and just like kind of programmatic as you open. Snare drum is now at a mezzo piano. We've added in some rolls and then the full band comes in at 12. The melody is in flute and trumpet and they have a cute little syncopated rhythm. 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, don't breathe. 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1, now breathe. So you want to make sure that when you're learning this, that they're doing a 4-measure phrase so it sounds more mature. The low people have just chords on 1, 3, 4. Agreed. So they should not be short and they should be touching if you have 2 quarter notes in a row. Clarinet, sax, and horn kind of have background parts as well. It's just a little bit different. And more of those like color chords underneath.
And I would consider, there are no style markings like Katie mentioned, but I would consider either writing in
Tenutos
for the kids.
Yeah.
On the syncopated part.
The accents.
All of the half note stuff needs to be tenuto.
Yeah.
But on the syncopated stuff, writing accents, staccato, di-da, di-da.
Yep.
Di-da,
but
di-da.
I thought you were talking about the underneath part. Would draw a tenuto.
Yes.
Quarter note, quarter rest, quarter note, quarter rest. I would draw tenuto on the quarter note.
Yep.
Da.
Off. Da. Off.
Da. Don't breathe either. Da.
Off.
Yeah. So a lot of times I've heard bands play this and everybody breathes right there. On,
yes.
Like a 2-bar phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's not going to be okay. Especially when you're going 120. So make sure that kids are really paying attention to that. Draw it in for them on their part. No breath with an arrow. Lows get a little bit of a moment in the sunshine at measure 15. They just get to move and play 4 quarter notes. 16, we go back to the melody still in flute and trumpet. Everybody else has kind of the background part. Again, it's quarter note, quarter rest, quarter note, quarter rest for everybody. So not letting those notes rush.
Yes.
And not letting them be short. Because that's what causes the rushing is people going 1, 3, one, yep. three. So just making sure that that's accurate together and then not loud.
And then we have concert D flats and the low brass and and low woodwind. So making sure, and like they actually have some, the low brass part, even though it's not very challenging rhythmically, they move around and they have to have a good ear. They need to get it in their ear what some of these skips are supposed to sound like. That's going to be really important for that harmonic foundation for the rest of the band.
At measure 19, right before the next big box number, there's a little harmonic 1-3, which is fun to bring out in the horn, alto sax, and clarinet too. Clarinets have not gone over the break yet, she says softly, checking. Oh, we do have one C in the first clarinet so far. Other than that, it's been under the break. At 12... The same, oh, not 12, I'm so sorry. At 20, the melody is now passed to clarinet and alto. Trumpets still have the melody. Horns also have a harmony part with alto. Sorry, not the melody, but a harmony part.
And this, I think, is tough because the section that had this before, you had flute and trumpet, right? And so that it's pretty easy as a color group to match style between flute and trumpet. But now when you're talking about clarinet, alto, horn, and trumpet, and we've split into harmony, that is, it is tough to match that same style, but it's important for you to spend time on that.
Right.
Making sure that just because it's thicker and we've added, you know, like conical brass in the horn, that we still get the same note length in the style. Dee-da, dee-da.
Yep. Snare drum has kind of dropped out here. We have a little crash cymbal and then they come back in as like a response. So all the melody has one, two, don't breathe, one, two, three, and four, and one. Snare drum has a little conversation with them during the long note. So just making sure that they don't rush that and it's not too loud. The flutes flutes come in with a new little melodic part at measure 22 with alto and trumpet one on the melody with them. Everybody else continues to now play chords underneath them. At 24, we have the same thing we had before where most of the band has quarter note, quarter rest chords. Trumpet has melody alone here. And then the alto saxophone comes in and has like a little response at measure 27 as the rest of the band is getting softer. I guess it's the crash cymbal part moves to bells.
Yes.
I can't tell, but somebody moves to bells and now bells have the melody with, at measure 29.
And this is like a woodwind.
Part, this part can sound really not okay. Yes. If your kids can't play with good tone and good tuning, because it goes up a little bit higher. This is where the clarinets do go up higher in the staff. So making sure that your clarinets don't get louder as they go higher, that they still sound dark and not bright as they go higher. And they're not the melody.
Yeah.
They're just chords underneath. But I've heard this piece played sometimes where like all you can pay attention to is the high clarinet sticking out. You can't even hear like the flute melody. So,
and we want the, like where they're written with the clarinets, we want the, when the clarinets go up in this part, and this is, we're talking when they start to get really high, 35, 36, corners need to come in. They need to be snug against the mouthpiece. Obviously voicing needs to be high and that air needs to be going straight across the top of the tip of the reed. So not letting their air get too wide up there. And I would put one clarinet player on it, and that's only if you have one clarinet player that can play it and sound good. If you don't, that part is
double-ish in the sax
and in the flute. So like do not feel like you have to have a first clarinet player play that if they can't play it with a good sound.
I agree. Again, percussion bells part is very important here too, and they can help beef that up. 37, now the trumpets get the melody. But it's not even a full melody. It's like a little conversation with the lows. So trumpets go one, two, three, and lows.
One, two, bum, three, bum, 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 and.
Hupper people have the end of the melody. Then the trumpets have that part. So it's like this little echo being passed back and forth. Everybody else needs to just be super soft. I would mark it on their part for them to be mezzo piano or piano at most so we can hear all these differing conversations. And again, needs to have the same style like Laura said.
Yep. One, consistency two, is three, key.
And one. Yep. At 41, the trumpets and altos come in with a little harmony part to the melody. And now the upper people, like flute and clarinet, are having another little conversational piece along with the saxophones too.
Now the low voices right here have a skip of a seventh. So like that's one of the things I'm talking about this part being a little more challenging for low voices, not rhythmically, but making sure that they hear the notes that they are supposed to play. So they're going from a low B flat to an A flat top line of the staff. So, I mean, that is not easy. That is not easy to do.
Nope. And then they're going,
and
to,
then they're going a to a D flat. Flat. Yeah.
So, trumpets have the end of the melody here at 43. They end the melody alone. And then we kind of get softer and we have that same 1-3 at 44. Snare drum now picks up and gets louder. Mm-hmm. And at 45, the flutes come in with the melody. We kind of have a repeat of what we had before where the clarinets are playing soft chords underneath them. But now they're kind of conversing back and forth with trumpet. The trumpets alone have the melody at 47. Clarinet and flute have a little bit of a conversation piece at the end of the clarinet or the trumpet solo. And then at 49, the middle voices have 2, 3, 4, and 1. And it's like, it's very chordal. Got to make sure the style is matching up there. Then it goes back to the flutes with the melody, then the trumpets with the melody. So it's pretty obvious who has melody because mm-hmm. it's the moving part, but everybody's still playing underneath them. So you have to layer this really well to where your ear knows who to listen for and isn't overwhelmed by all the color chords that were written.
Then we get to this next spot at 53, and it is piano, and it is so important. Like, please
we're
do not...
We're growing it back up.
Yes, yeah. Please do not... like use this piece to teach that dynamic level. Use that in your fundamentals. Make sure that you're working on that. This is a section in here that I hear bands not sound very good on. Simply because the dynamic, they tonally do not sound good when they're playing piano.
And the low brass have to come in on an upper B flat here.
So
they've now jumped up again.
That's right.
But they have to come in really soft.
Piano yeah. on a high B flat. Like for some low brass players, that is not easy. So make sure again that you're using your fundamental time to address that and that your kids can play with a good sound.
They also have a G flat here, so it's like a scale going down: B flat, A flat, G flat, F, E flat, D flat. So like that's a lot of
yeah.
stuff for trombone.
Yes, it is.
So I mean, like, maybe don't choose it unless you know, like, my low brass can play fifth position.
That's right.
Otherwise, this is not gonna sound good. It says crescendo poco a poco. I would draw the crescendo
absolutely.
In on their part, showing them, talking about the number system, like we're gonna start at a number mm-hmm. 1 here, we're gonna be at a 3 by this time, at a 5 at this time. That way they don't crescendo too fast and too quickly. That's the same word. Sorry. Long day at school. At 57, the snare drum is continuing kind of this like very active part underneath. Don't let it take over the rest of the band. Then we have our big finish. The brass have these chords kind of like the beginning, but we have this little cute interjection from flute and clarinet. 2, 3. And we have to make sure we're in tune. It's big octaves in everybody. 2, 3, and the lows are moving around, playing those chords. Again, really tough to tune, but they're there. And then the whole piece ends with 2, 3, 2, 3, and the whole band finishes with like a nice little last note.
And I would make that last note longer than you think you need to, right? We talk about like that. Obviously, you've heard us say before, I always like to use the word tone, mm-hmm. but I mean, I would even write like T-A-H. We talk about in my band hall, making sure that our notes end with vowel sounds and not consonant sounds. So we want to hear a ah at the end and not a, you know, don't close their throat, open throat release, O-T-R.
Yep. So this piece is fun. It has a lot of hidden challenges.
Yes, it does.
But it's a great piece to choose if your children don't need to rhythmically work on much, but only if they can play with good intonation and
yeah.
tone in different ranges of their instrument.
Yes, I agree with that completely.
All right. Well, we hope you will consider programming Atlantis in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.